It's Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back, finally. Yeah,
I know, it's been a month. I'm really sorry that we are not consistent.
We kind of suck.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, so I like to just get to the point. We kind of suck.
Yeah, we do. But you know what? Good thing we waited, because today is a very special anniversary.
It is, and this is a very special episode as a result of
it
that. This is like the equivalent of the episode where the Brady Bunch goes to Hawaii and finds the tiki.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, Rachel. Okay.
It is the one-year anniversary of...
Grab him by the pussy.
1 year ago tonight, you and I were feverishly texting one another. And I actually, that came up this morning in my Facebook. My Facebook feed is my memories. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was a different world back then.
Yeah, it was like, it was terrible, but not quite as terrible as it is now.
It was a terrible with a tinge of hope. And I was like reading the comments on the Facebook post that I had about it. And like, I got into an argument with somebody about, you know, the person who eventually won the election. And and I was so self-righteous about everything. And now I look back and I'm just really, I would say sad. I would say angry. I'm like just a mix of emotions. I'm numb. I'm more numb, I think, than anything
else. We didn't plan on talking about this, but I've thought about several times in the past couple of days. When the Comey email came out 2 weeks before the election, I read it on my phone. I was like doing my hair or something, and Bobby was in the shower, and I ran into the bathroom and I said, "Bobby, Hillary just lost the election."
So it was, I think it was, it wasn't, it was a little bit less than 2 weeks. It was the day that we went out of town for Corey's birthday. It was the day that we met up with you guys.
Oh my God, it was, because we did this weird drunken episode in the attic of that.
Right?
Oh wait, this gets to our other anniversary.
Yeah, so you and I, like, by the time, I think maybe you even texted me before, because we think we came over and picked you up or something.
Yeah.
And I think before that you had texted me about it. And then when we got here, we were talking about it. And then we talked about it on the way up to,
we went to Weed, California.
Yeah. So we were talking about it. And then we had a really drunken, crazy episode in the attic of this place we stayed
at.
And
it didn't work out, which, thank God, because I think that episode was a bit wild.
That episode never aired. It's in the vault.
It's good. But yeah,
we recorded it on our phones.
Yeah, we faced away from each other. It's actually like the what's that witch? Oh my God, where they had to stand in the corner.
Oh.
What is that witch movie?
Oh my God. Blair Witch?
Blair Witch Project. Yeah. We were like both in corners.
We were in this attic room. I think we were sitting on either side of the bed.
Yes.
Not looking. Why were we not looking at
each
other?
Because I think there's interference because of the way we were talking.
It was so weird because we always look at each other when we
were
in the episode. Long story short, that episode never aired.
That was the lost Blair Witch episode.
Yes.
But it didn't air because it's approaching the anniversary of the day that my daughter had her weird episode.
Crazy episode where we
had to take an ambulance from Mount Shasta to Sacramento.
Yeah. So
that was a wild ride.
That was a shitty, you know, so we'd gone away for Corey's birthday for his birthday weekend.
Yeah.
And it was really fun up until that point.
So yeah, we'd gotten the news. We knew the election was not going to go how we wanted it to. And
I was still deliberately, blindly hoping, you know, and I obviously know that James Comey email thing.
My heart sank. I knew right then as soon
shitty.
As I read that.
It was the start of the breakdown.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's
happy anniversary, you guys.
Yeah. So I've been, I haven't done that much these past few weeks, but I've been going to these manager classes at Sac State.
That sounds very exciting.
I call it manager school.
Manager school.
But it's really funny because we have like trainers there, and the trainers are like, you know, like corporate trainers, like, "Hey guys," like that kind of thing. But there was
You do trust exercises?
No, we do a lot of group work though.
Do you do icebreakers?
You don't have to talk off mic because there's a lot that goes
into
this.
Okay.
But the nice thing was, is it's been a while since I've been in college, and I spent a long time in college. Ooh. I got like 3 degrees from Sac City. Okay.
That's fine.
But one day they had a college professor who taught the class, and it was so neat. Like, I forgot like about the way teachers talk about thoughts and not just the thing you need to learn, but, you know, ideas. And it was interesting to have this like discussion with somebody who's really smart. And he was like a terrorism expert. He's the guy that is always on the news when they talk about terrorism.
And this is the guy teaching you management skills?
Yeah. Well, it was a communications class.
Oh, okay.
Super interesting, funny, smart. And it was.
So what's the link between the terrorism and management? I'm just curious. Or is just that just one of his areas of expertise?
It's just one of his areas. He's like lived all over the world or something. Okay. I don't know. But it was like, it was great. It reminded me of college. And I'd forgotten that I didn't actually hate college. I mean, I have like a little PTSD from, from school. But I remember that there was a part of it that I actually liked.
Yeah, we all do. I mean, you know, even those of us who now teach, we still have PTSD.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I, you know, I don't know if you do this, but like, after I was out of high school, I would always have anxiety dreams about high school. Like dreams where I didn't go to class all semester, or dreams where I was walking around campus in just like my bra and jeans or something. And then once I finished college, I would have dreams where I didn't go to my class all semester and I was trying to find the final, you know, and I wasn't going to graduate, blah, blah, blah. And now that I'm a professor, I have dreams that, you know, that I'm just completely botching teaching in some way, like,
or you like poop your pants while you're teaching.
Just like, so I'm like, I'm just always going to have like school related anxiety dreams.
I'm really
like,
sorry.
Till the day I die. Yeah.
My anxiety dreams, it's always my horrible ex-boyfriend is my boyfriend again.
Oh.
And it's like, and I'll know who Bobby is, but he's not my husband anymore because I'm back together with this guy. Ugh. And it's just, those are the dreams.
Those are awful. Yeah.
I think Bobby has those too about an old girlfriend.
I've had those too about an ex, and they are, or I have anxiety dreams. I have anxiety dreams that Corey leaves me. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, he'll be like next to me in bed. I'll be like, and then I'll be mad at him. I'm like, you were going to leave me. He's like, what? I'm right here.
Just recently, I had a dream that Bobby hit on this Mormon girl that I went to school with. And she has like six kids now or something. Yeah. But Bobby was like really hitting on her. And I was really mad in this dream.
As you should have been.
Well, I know. Yes.
I would have had a talking to with him in the morning. Isn't it weird though? It's like when I have those dreams about Corey, like when I have a dream that he's like left me, and especially if it's because he's left me for another person, I wake up and I'm mad. I'm just like, the hell? What the hell are you doing in my subconscious? Not cool.
Yeah,
not cool.
It's just like, I know, it's not their fault.
It is too.
I know. Fair enough. Hey, so this last weekend, I had Bobby and I had our birthday party.
Yeah.
And we had a bingo party.
It was so much fun.
It was really fun.
You had daubers and everything.
Is it just like when you get older, you need an activity to make a party fun? Like, just drinking isn't fun enough.
Drinking's a lot of fun, but somehow drinking and playing bingo is like you've just upped the fun ante.
Yeah.
And we at the one point, we all had like six bingo cards in front of us and we're like trying to, you know, we're just like yelling and trying to like, everybody's trying to get, I didn't get, Corey got bingo. I did not get bingo.
Oh, did he get a prize?
He did.
Oh, he did. Okay. Oh, we had prizes.
Yes,
by the way.
There were prizes. It was a lot of fun. And we did decide that you guys need to have a regular bingo party.
I know. Because I'm all about bingo. I always have been. I went with my grandma. Ooh. Ian and I are obsessed with bingo. So I got invited to drag queen bingo at Mango's last Thursday. And that was really fun.
That sounds like fun. So you played bingo?
Yeah. Yeah, you play bingo and the drag queens, they call the numbers.
Callers.
And
okay.
They do, you know, they have their whole shtick that they do.
Burlesque or something.
No, like their funny jokes, like, oh, you're a virgin, I'll take care of that in the alley, like that kind
Got
of
it.
Thing.
Standard drag queen
shit. Yeah, yeah,
okay,
I mean, fine. You know, whatever, it worked. Yeah. But what's funny is I went with some coworkers and they're much younger than me, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because one of them's like, oh yeah, it's pretty family friendly. They have a kids menu. You could probably just bring your daughter.
I guess.
Well, for a second, I was like, you know what? Maybe I could because Bobby might be playing softball. Who knows? Okay.
Yeah.
But then after being there, I'm like, that wouldn't work. Because when you get close to being, you have to say, it's on, bitches. I'm just like, my daughter's heard all these words.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, we are talking about Rosalie and family.
I know. But I don't want to be that mom.
Okay.
So that's what it was. So anyway, I did drag queen bingo this week. You had school. How's school?
So I have 9 weeks left of the semester.
that's pretty sad, Rachel.
That's how. So we are, next week is the, like, I have basically a 2 week period where we do midterms. I do midterms in one of my classes 1 week, and then the next week will be the rest of the midterm. So it's sort of like I'm at the point where you can kind of, like, for me anyway, I can take a breath and kind of, I'm just telling them what their grades are at this point. I'm not having to like prep or really grade that much. Whereas they're sort of having a come to Jesus moment about their grades are. Like, some of them for sure are going to have like a come to Jesus moment. Like, yeah.
Is it like it and you're feeding off of their fear kind of thing?
Possibly. Yeah. There's a couple of students who I will probably be feeding off of their fears and talking about the like the treacherous path that they're going down and how their entire lives will be ruined. No, I mean, other than the fact that I am literally counting down to the end of the semester, it's going well. I finally feel like I have my students now know when their classes are. I'm not getting the random emails like, do I have class with you today? You know, so they've gotten into the rhythm of it. We had an exhausting week though on campus, I think, in the wake of just like world events. So I will say that the one thing, it's like I was telling you earlier tonight, I finally officially ended my employment with the News and Review this last week.
I'm gonna pour out a little liquor right now.
I know. And it's like, so I'm no longer like officially part of a newsroom. But being a journalism instructor on a college campus is really like, I get to still have these conversations. Not that I want to have these conversations with people. Like, at one point last week, I was like, I'm really like stocked up on teachable moments. Okay. Like, dear universe, I have enough teachable moments to last me the rest
of the
semester.
It's like Saturday Night Live. They're like, look, we got enough.
I've got enough material. We got this. Okay. I've got enough to use in my classes. But I'll say this. It's like, I was really impressed with the depth of critical thinking and the depth of just the type of questions that my students had for everything that's happening in the world right now. So it makes me, it's like, I'm, part of me is sad to not be in a newsroom anymore, but part of me is like excited. The other part of me is excited to be in an environment with young journalists who are really curious and have a lot of, you know, interesting questions and interesting viewpoints on
everything. You're bringing up the new crop.
It's really gratifying in a lot of ways. For every student who emails me and goes, do I have class with you today? Okay. You know, there's like 10 students who are really like sharp and, you know, really thoughtful about what they're doing. So
That balances out. Yeah. So you said a difficult week, but I said earlier it's been a difficult month, but I think it only has been a week.
Well, that's the thing. It's been a difficult month, and the month is only literally 7 days long at this point. And so, yeah, it's been kind of a shit-ass month.
I just feel like since January 21st, well, since November 7th or whatever it was, November 11th.
I
can't remember. But
that dreadful day.
Yeah, I feel like I can't catch a breath.
No, because you can't.
It's terrible.
Been a horrible year.
And then with Las Vegas and I frequent Fox News, which I know.
I need to stop.
But in the whole thing, they're all talking about, you know, every liberal wants to take away your guns. We're all dumb. And this guy must have been a liberal, but because he was.
Yeah, that was the conspiracy theories flying around in like the first couple of hours or the first 24 hours is that he was a Trump hating liberal. And
this guy is just fucking bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know which side is going to claim him, but he
was just
fucking bonkers. Yeah. And there's no apparent like reason why he did what he did. Although, did you hear that like he had apparently like rented hotel suites in like other cities that
like
were
Lollapalooza.
Having, yeah, and Chicago, and then another one in Las Vegas. And it's like this guy clearly had some sort of purpose, you know, that he had set for himself. And
I mean, it was really well planned out.
It's awful.
Yeah, it was horrific. So, God, I have a coworker who her sister was there like a block away, and they were in a restaurant. And they were hiding in the restaurant. Like, they all started to hide in the kitchen, but the restaurant kicked them all out onto the street. Well, so she's, like, hiding under a car. And
this is probably the first time that you brought that up. It's, like, it's the first time I've known somebody who's been there. Like, a friend of mine, her stepdaughter was there, and she was okay. But she posted something, and then I was texting her that night. And then one of my coworkers, two of his friends were there front row at the concert.
God.
And like experienced it. I mean, they were okay physically, but it, you know, as he said to me, I talked to him on the phone earlier this week. He's like, you know, they'll never, ever be the same. It's like the PTSD that you have from witnessing and being a part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
when this girl's sister, she didn't know where the gunshots were coming from because at that time they thought they were coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
And so she said her sister's not doing
so. They made them leave the restaurant?
Yeah, the restaurant kicked them out.
Where did they go?
They were hiding under cars, like anything they could find.
Because I was listening to NPR and it's like they had an interview. Well, so, okay, so two things. They had an interview with a waitress who worked at Hooters, and which, yeah, I'm like, okay, Hooters, but she was saying, I think it was a Hooters within a casino, and people were running in there and hiding under the casino tables, yeah, the whatever you call them. And then my coworker, who had friends who were there, they ran out of the area and ran into another casino, and I think that they were, the management, like, ushered everybody into a vault.
See, I was actually, when she told me that the restaurant kicked them out on the street,
I think that's shitty.
I was like, that is like, I hate to be like the litigious person, but kind of sounds like a little lawsuit action, yeah, right there.
That's just some shitty human beings, yeah, happening there. And I will say that sounds like the exception, because for most of what I've heard about what happened is that people were incredibly brave and like generous with their, you know, like hotels were taking other, you know, people in for, mm-hmm, free and all that sort of stuff. So it's disappointing when you hear about a place that maybe reacts in a different way.
Yeah.
But okay. Maybe just shittiness. I'm just like, why am I so exhausted this week? Well, the world is sucking the life out of me. Like,
at least we have Rex Tillerson, though.
Rexit.
You know what? I've got to say, he's kind of my hero this
Moron
week.
Moron gate.
He is the hero of the week.
No, the hero of the week for me is the journalist who, so
Stephanie Ruhle.
So is she the person? So
that's my girl.
So reportedly, you know, she heard from somebody, you know, a source that Rex Tillerson called Donald Trump a moron. And then the journalist is like, in the spirit of accuracy, he called him a fucking moron. It's like, and I'm like, yeah, journalism. Dude,
so that's my lady that I listened to that I told you about. That's my girl. Oh,
well, she's now my girl. Cause I was like, thank you for, you know, like, for like correcting that in the spirit of accuracy.
No, Stephanie Ruhle, like I told you, she don't take no mess.
Okay.
She's like, she means business. Yeah, you don't
well,
mess
I
with her.
Became a fan this okay, week. Yes.
Good. I'm so glad. You know, yeah, you now know like, yeah, why I have this like weird ear, yes, crush
and
on
you,
her.
Here's the thing, you know he said that.
First
of all, he didn't deny it. He didn't deny it.
He didn't deny it.
And of course he said it.
I mean, like, duh.
So here's the thing that I find, you know, so Corey and I were sort of speculating this week if he'd be the next person to resign, step down, whatever. And I was thinking about when he was appointed or when his name was being floated, mm-hmm, as Secretary of State. My stepdad was ecstatic because he's from Wichita Falls, which is where I'm from. And where, okay, Corey, he's a great guy because he's from Wichita Falls, Texas. So I'm so curious now as to what my stepdad thinks, but I do not.
You're gonna get an email in about 2 days.
It'll probably be like the email I got about John McCain, about what a horrible person John McCain is, you know. And now I'm like, where's the Rex Tillerson email gonna, where's that tune going to change?
Who was it, somebody, I think it must be an anonymous person, but they said that those three generals, Kelly, Mattis,
the suicide pact,
well, that they are like the only people holding our country together right now.
But are they the ones who have basically, like, if one of them goes, all three of them go?
I hope not. God. But I know that they'd keep talking each other into staying. It's like a Lifetime movie.
I was just going to say, it's like an 80s teen movie. It's like some version of Heather's or Mean Girls.
We need to write this. As soon as we're going to write a screenplay. We're doing
it's
this,
totally,
Rachel.
Like an 80s. It's an 80s themed Lifetime movie.
What do we need to name it? Wait, you could, instead of Heather's, it'll be the Generals.
The Generals.
Oh, I like it.
Oh my God. We got a hit on our.
Hey, anybody listening, don't take our idea.
Yeah,
okay?
That's ours. We're going to make a lot of money off of it. Okay, who's going to star in it? Okay, sorry.
Okay, well, anyway. So, okay, then let's talk about Puerto Rico, because this is some bullshit. Did you actually hear him talk? And when?
No, I saw. Okay. So I saw, like, people were tweeting clips of the video, and I think if I'm thinking about the one you're talking about, I could not bring myself to turn on the sound, because sometimes it's just about self-care.
I did.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So he was, it reminded me of my grandpa, and I love, my grandpa's no longer with us, and I love him dearly.
Okay. Yeah.
But this reminded, I'll just say it, my grandpa's kind of an a-hole. And listening to him sound like my grandpa, I was like, yeah. There it is. Yep. Except I don't love this guy.
Right. You have
but
no.
He was like making funny. He's like, Puerto Rico. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? Well, he's talking to these people whose their island has been destroyed.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible.
Did he start like doing the Macarena or something?
Yeah, you know. Rachel, that's too funny for me right now.
Sorry.
I can't handle that.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I put his hands on his hips and he kind of like gyrated.
Puerto Rico.
It was really
I can't
terrible.
Handle him, okay? I cannot handle him throwing paper towels into a crowd of people who have no water, no drinkable water, no electricity, you know, nothing. nothing.
It's like, A, he's condescending, yes, but B, he's clueless, out of touch.
And like, then he's like, yeah, you've like knocked our budget out of whack. It's like, no, you know what's knocked our budget out of whack? It's your weekend trips to, you know, fucking Florida. I'm sorry.
Anyway, all the people on your payroll that keep taking these fucking jets and chartered flights.
So when I was little, I remember getting ice cream with my dad, and he got coffee ice cream and he gave me a taste of it, and I said, ew, I hate that. And my dad said, hate is such a strong word, and that always stuck with me. Like, yeah. I was like 4 or 5, and I'm like, that always stuck with me, that when if I say, you know, it's like, try not to use the word hate just loosely. But I'm like, I don't think I've ever hated anybody more than a living person more. Because Hitler would probably be above Donald Trump. I mean, fair enough.
But I have to listen to Donald Trump talk right now.
Right. So I hate him more than anybody I've ever hated in my lifetime. Yeah. I mean, literally just pure blind hate. Like, I have nothing. There's nothing about him that is redeeming at all.
No. Every time I hear every time I hear Ivanka's voice, though, I just can't stand her woman. But anyway. So, okay, so speaking of Puerto Rico, I wanted to tell you this because I heard it today. So FEMA, apparently their website, they've taken recovery stats off of their website.
I heard something about that.
So basically, the government is keeping data from us, which I don't know if that bothers you, but that bothers me.
It bothers me a lot. There should be some journalists out there filing FOIAs, which are Freedom of Information Act requests, mm-hmm. to get that information back. That's public information.
Yes, I cannot believe that...
But that's not the first time that they've done that. I mean,
no, they did
probably,
with the park services and
probably
things like
the
that.
Most crucial time that they've done it is this. But they've taken down information about climate change. They've taken mm-hmm. down information about the National Forest Service. It's like they're just trying to rewrite reality, mm-hmm. change reality. But it's like, you know, and unfortunately, I don't know. I mean, I have no words left. My words are just.
I know.
Okay, gibberish at this point.
We did have some words this last week, though.
We didn't have words.
No, I know. But your poor mother-in-law, who I love your mother-in-law, she posted something about Donald Trump not having his hand over his heart during the national anthem.
So the whole kneeling controversy. Yeah. And then he did. Because there was one incident on the White House balcony where Melania had to basically hit him and remind him to cover, you know, whatever.
And whatever. There's... Not a rule, first off. But anyway, the point is, he hates this kneeling thing and he doesn't put his hand over his heart.
Yeah, the whole Twitter fight with, you know, all of the NFL over it. Yeah.
And so your mother-in-law posted something where it brought up the hypocrisy of that. And man posted something where he said, shame on you, Dana. And that didn't sit well with me. And
it did not. It did not sit well with you.
Well, So I try not to enter those fights online. Like, I try to read them and I get mad about them, of course. But I don't enter them. But you cannot talk to somebody. It was somebody that I love like that.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. You put him in his place.
I did. But so here's the problem. I realized that, like, he knew somebody I knew that was kind of important. So I was like, oh, no. I was like, delete, delete, delete.
Yeah, he's somebody that you know his daughter.
Granddaughter.
Yeah. So.
And so I deleted all the comments. And Corey was texting me. He's like, why did you do that? He's going to win. I'm like, I don't care if he wins. Like, we're good here. But I remember he said something about your safe space. And I remember the last comment I wrote was, oh, good one. The old safe space argument. Yeah. What are you going to do? Call me a snowflake? Yes. Like, next. And then I went and I looked at his profile and I was like, oh, shit. Oh, no. Oh, no.
The dangers of Facebook. But
it's Facebook and Woodland, too. Like, that's a big problem.
Oh, does he live in Woodland? I don't think I knew that.
Yes, that's the problem.
It's such a small town,
I know.
Too.
And then Corey ripped this one woman a new one.
Oh, he did. Yeah. The same thread.
Yeah. And actually, that thread, she said, what was that terrible word she said? Oh, irregardless. And I said,
she used the word irregardless.
And so my comment was a little...
You know
childish.
What? If you're an asshole, it's okay to be an asshole about somebody's grammar.
So I said, irregardless isn't really
a word.
No,
it's okay. I'm sorry. If somebody is an asshole, it's okay to be an asshole about their obvious lack of understanding of the English language.
But I put it on Reddit, and it was actually my highest upvoted post I've ever had.
I still can't believe you're on Reddit. I cannot do the Reddit.
It's funny.
I can't do it.
What irritates you? The, like, millennial little
trolls?
Assholes? Yeah, I know.
Trolly trolls.
During the election, it was really rough because all the Trump ones would come up all the time, and they'd really, really bothered me. And they're just like my little brother. That's all I could think of the whole time. It was my little brother posting these things. But
I think I'm too
Reddit.
Much of a snowflake for Reddit.
I like it because sometimes you see, like, beautiful pictures. You learn about different places. So I do like Reddit. And I got my highest upvoted post because of that Facebook argument.
Congratulations.
But I just will say it. If you mess with somebody that I love on Facebook, I will fuck you up.
You will cut a bitch.
It is not funny. Yeah. You do not do that.
You hear that, world?
I know. Well, you remember the thing with my mother-in-law and my mom.
Oh my God, I remember that. That was last year, right?
It was.
Yeah.
I
think Corey actually brought that up with me after this whole thing.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's like, I take some shit, but at a certain point, I don't.
Yeah. So just FYI, world.
Yeah. Yeah. And it goes for friends, too. So if anybody's thinking about messing with Rachel, don't.
She's got my back, bitches.
On Facebook.
And same. Yeah, in real life, you're like, you're on your own.
No. Actually, God, I shouldn't tell the story. I think maybe I've had a glass of wine too many. When I was 16 years old, my mom and I were in the Target parking lot. And some lady, like, started yelling at my mom about something. Like, she thought my mom cut her off. And she started yelling at my mom. And I said, I said, F you, you white trash bitch. Like,
what's your mom do?
And my mom was like, she's like, well, Paloma's got this.
I can see Marcia like, all right, I'll just step aside.
You're like, oh, okay, well, yeah. See. Anyway, but it was one of those times. So I guess in person, maybe I will do it too.
All right, good to know.
I can't believe I told that story. It's so embarrassing. It's not my proudest moment.
But you were just protecting your mom in that case. So it's very sweet.
Gosh. Yeah. Anyway.
Huh.
So, oh, and then it was a terrible week. You can talk about this one.
Which part?
Oh, well, so Bobby's birthday. We wake up and it's the Las Vegas shooting. Yeah. I tell him at like 5:30 a.m. I'm like, look, you're going to go read the news.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear about this. And then a few hours later, it's like Tom Petty.
Well, so Tom Petty. Okay. So a couple things.
Well, yeah, there are a couple things.
So actually, first, like, just context for Corey and I, we had seen Tom Petty a month ago. Yeah. I somehow got free tickets and we had like fifth row seats and I was able to like, Corey had been trying to get tickets. Like I was going to go online and buy tickets and they were the tickets that were left were so expensive. So I ended up like contacting a publicist that I knew. And I had offered to like review the show and she's like, oh, somebody else from the paper's already reviewing it. She's like, but let me see if I can get you tickets anyway. And ooh. So it was like, I was like, if you can, that'd be amazing. I don't expect it. I'm like, you know, I could maybe still write something. And then I talked to my editor and I'm like, oh no, this other guy's doing it. But if you want to go ahead and, so anyway, long story short, I was able to surprise Corey last minute, like a couple of hours before the
show.
Such
a good wife.
With like fifth row tickets. So we had like the most amazing experience seeing him at 40th anniversary tour. Like we were singing every song. It was just like magical. And then, you know, and then he dies. So I'm at work on Monday. I get out of class and I go into my office and somebody on Twitter has this thing about Tom Petty dying. And it was like CBS News had reported it. And then the Washington Post reported it. And then like for the next couple of hours, all these papers are like posting obituaries. And then all of a sudden, like about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, because I was texting Corey during all of this, like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, Corey sends me a text and it's like Slate Magazine's like, oh, he's actually still alive. And we're God. Like, what the hell? So it's just this, I mean, so long story short, obviously, no spoilers needed. He died.
Yeah, he did.
He had cardiac arrest, but it was this, it was another teachable moment for my class that I didn't want to have where we talk about like rushing to report news that how do you verify news? And in this case, it was like the LAPD. It was the one who gave the information. How would you have double, you know, verified?
How would you verify?
You would reach out to the family, but they weren't talking. They weren't speaking. So this is a case where I don't necessarily put blame on the media for it because they got the information from an official source and the LAPD got the information wrong. The only thing you could have done differently was contact the management or the family. And from what I understand, they weren't talking at all. But regardless of that, it was just awful because Corey and I both love Tom Petty so much.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, he's like, oh, I remember the first time I heard Tom Petty. My dad brought home this record.
Aww.
Yeah. So his dad had this clothing store in Woodland. And they would get a promo copy of a Tom Petty record from so when FM 102 was based out of Woodland, somehow it was like as a promo, they got this copy of the record and his dad brought it home and he and his sister just wore the record out.
Aww.
And I was like, I can't remember the first time I heard Tom Petty. I just feel like Tom Petty was just always there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like just part of my life. Like, and I just feel like every song I've ever heard, I love. And, you know, it's a shitty, you know, start to the week.
I know.
Yeah.
It was sad.
But I'll say this. He died. He finished his tour at the Hollywood Bowl. He died, gone out on top, doing what he loves.
Went out like a champ.
So I just keep telling myself, if you're gonna die, you know, do it doing what you love. Same with David Bowie, when, you know, David Bowie died of cancer, but he was recording right up till the end. Yep. And so I'm like, do what you love.
Absolutely.
Shitty week, though.
It was.
Yeah.
And actually, I must be dead inside somewhere, but I don't actually get that sad when celebrities die. Mm-hmm. Like, I just am not wired that way. And so I knew Bobby was. Yeah. It was his birthday. I was like, God damn it. Like,
yeah.
I was going to make him dinner tonight, but now everything's just going to be a bummer. So he was obviously really upset by it. And for me, I don't know. I don't know. I don't work that way. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We all have our different triggers.
I'd be sad if you died. Well, I'd be sad if my mom died.
Thanks.
But I just don't get sad when celebrities die.
That's okay. It's fine. Not all celebrities, just ones that I have feel like I have personal connections to. Yeah,
that's okay. Fair.
Not, you don't have to. It's not like I'm judging you.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
As long as you're not saying, I don't understand why you feel that way.
No, I just, yeah. I always am like, God, is something wrong
with
me?
Has there ever been a celebrity that made you really sad? When
Kurt Cobain died, I actually was really, really upset about that. But I was also, you know, 17 or all something. Right. A little more emotional then.
All right. Are you trying to say that? I'm emotional?
No, I mean, I just would have been more likely to have looked up to... I never... Anyway, all I'm saying is I was sad about Kirk
Cobain.
Fair
enough.
And that was it.
Yeah, we all have our different...
Oh, wait, I was really sad about John Candy. Oh, my God.
Huh, okay.
Like, that one really stuck with me.
All right.
I know. Okay, whatever.
It's fine. It's fine. We don't have to cry over the same things. Besides, I'm a crier. We know that.
I know. Well, I am, too.
Are you?
Are you kidding? I always cry about something.
Huh.
Oh, okay. Maybe I haven't cried enough with you.
Yeah,
really?
Cry some more, bitch. Tears.
We got a couple hours here, Stevie.
All right,
I got
tears.
You.
I want tears.
So my daughter.
Okay, moving on.
Okay,
moving on.
I'm telling stories I probably shouldn't tell tonight, but in the car today, we went to Davis to go to the co-op because we're looking for Tofurky pepperoni, which apparently the manufacturer's not making it right now. They always get like, I don't know if they get over inundated or what, but like they stopped making their jerky. Like they just couldn't put up with the demand anymore.
And they just get anxiety or something.
I don't know what it is. It makes me crazy. I'm like, Tofurky.
Oh, it's too popular. We can't deal with it.
So I told Bobby, I'm like, I'm going to go on the website and I'm going to say, get your shit together. Like, I don't know what else to tell them.
We're counting on you. So, you had one job.
But we're on our way home and Rosie was like, she has not stopped talking all day today. She's been like a motor mouth. Mm. And so finally she's like, oh, she's talking about babies or something. And she said, what if the babies pooped on their parents' faces?
Oh.
And Bobby and I go, well, Rosalie, that's not very nice. She said, well, that's probably what mean babies do. It was just really
funny.
Where
did that even come from?
I don't know. And then somehow she started calling me sucka today.
Sucka.
She's like, what you doing, sucka? I'm like, oh, no.
You know she got that from you, though, right?
I know, but I don't know how.
Listening to you?
I know, but I don't. Come on.
Come on.
It's not fair.
Sucka.
I know. Hey. But we told her she can only say it at home.
Huh. Do you think that'll work?
And that's a joke, because it's not a nice thing to say, but it's just a joke she can say at home.
Okay, well, let me know how that works out for you. Sucka.
Oh, God. Okay. Is it time for Boring Corner?
Oh, okay, yes. What do you got? What do you got for me?
I got a couple things.
Okay.
Well, okay, so my first thing is, I've talked about this before, but I planted these tomatoes, right?
Uh-huh.
We got some cherry tomatoes, and that was fine. We got one bell pepper that never fully grew. It's just like this miniature bell pepper.
Baby bell
and then
pepper.
I started to get wrinkly, so those didn't work out.
Aww.
But there's still hope, because we had this heirloom tomato plant that has three tomatoes. They just turned red. I didn't think they were going to. So there's a chance we could have some heirloom tomatoes.
That sounds like my tomato plant last year. I did good on cherry tomatoes last year and then had...
They must be the easiest.
I think so, because my regular... And we didn't have an heirloom. It was like a beefsteak tomato plant, but it literally...
Those just died.
Those just... I got three tomatoes off, and I was so happy. It was like the gratefulness that I had towards
Bounty.
Those three tomatoes. Thank you. This year I didn't even try. Next summer I'll try.
Okay.
Things got a little crazy.
We've got new plans for next summer.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna try. You have new plans or plants?
New plans for our new plants.
Okay. Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Curious to see what you do.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Yeah. I'll try tomatoes again next summer, but I need to like... have some emotional healing and distance from my last attempt.
I'm with you. I get it. Like,
yeah,
I'm with you.
So what else you got?
Well, okay. So last night, Bobby played a show at Fox and Goose. And I my babysitter couldn't do it. Or maybe I didn't ask. Whatever it was. And our babysitter is actually... She's really popular this month. But anyway... So Bobby played his show and Rosalie kind of went to bed early. We fell asleep watching Lion King. Mm. So I had this amount of time with nothing to do. And I was like, whoa, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But we got rid of DirecTV and I'm not all that familiar with how to work Apple TV. But I tried to go to the MTV app, but I couldn't get logged in and nothing was working.
Aww.
So Hulu works. So I went to Hulu and I watched a Jimmy Kimmel episode, which I normally don't watch. But
yeah. Okay, there you are.
I did. And then after that, I went to look for movies and Dances with Wolves came up.
Okay.
And I don't know what it was, but I wanted to see it so bad. And so I watched the beginning of Dances with Wolves. But then I started to get obsessed with the Civil War. So then I was just on my iPad and then I just went to bed and read about the Civil War to fall asleep. But
I have never seen Dances with Wolves.
Oh my God, it's really a good movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's too wolvy for me.
Oh my God. Rachel. I know. What are you trying to accomplish with that? Do you want me to piss myself? Like, what do you want?
I'm just being honest. It's like, I just hear the title. I'm like, it's a lot of wolf. I don't know if I'm really into it.
Rachel.
True.
Okay. My tummy hurts now.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry. You just know, the more you know about me, the better.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, it's not that wolf. I mean, I guess it is wolfy.
It's called Dances with Wolves. Unless that's a metaphor for something, there's got to be wolves in it, right? And here's the thing, I like wolves.
Okay.
They're amazing creatures.
Well, apparently you don't, because you don't like too many of them.
But I don't want to dance with them.
Have you ever, though? Maybe they're great.
I don't know. It's just one of those, maybe it's a Kevin Costner thing.
Okay, that's fair. Because
I don't, like Braveheart, I'm like, no.
Well, he wasn't in Braveheart, was he? That was Mel Gibson.
Oh, never mind. Well, I don't like Mel Gibson either.
Well, yeah, I hate him. But okay. No, but you're on the right track with Kevin Costner because he's like in the body. He always has to play like this guy that's just got his shit together.
Yeah. So, yeah, no,
he's going to save everything.
Yeah, so no. Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Okay, well, anyway, it turned into an obsession with the Civil War.
Okay.
But then, so today I was trying to tell Bobby about this new obsession. I was like, yeah, I want to find these documentaries. I want to do this. I want to watch this. And they started talking to me about this documentary about the Vietnam War. I'm like, you're not listening.
So was he trying to talk to you about it because Ken Burns just did?
Yes,
yeah,
that's
and Ken Burns did the Civil War documentary. Yeah,
that's exactly what it
so
was.
So he was listening. He just wasn't.
No.
He was connecting dots in a different way.
Okay. The dots I wanted are leading straight to a Civil War documentary. And that's it.
Fair enough. What's in
your boring corner?
Oh, God. Nothing quite that exciting.
Oh, no. I always picked exciting boring corners.
I know. I'm like, I don't know if I have anything to compete with that. Literally, like, the only thing that I have... well, we already told you earlier tonight that we're watching that show Ozark.
Yeah,
So that's in my boring corner. So those of you out there who have not seen that show, it's sort of like Breaking Bad meets Bloodline, which means it's basically drug dealers and a lot of just crazy like family drama in the South and Jason Bateman. And here's the thing. Jason Bateman is amazing and I think he should win an Emmy, but he's essentially just playing Jason Bateman. It's almost like you could take his character from Arrested Development, which I don't know if you ever watched.
So you could
take his character. It's almost like it's his character from Arrested Development, but he's a drug dealer he's not a drug dealer. He's like a, he launders money.
Okay.
So you take his character from Arrested Development and you just put him in this scenario with like millions of dollars worth of drugs.
I like
and
that.
And that's basically what it is. And it works so well. Like it's so, like he's just Jason Bateman in it, but it's like, he's so Jason Bateman that it's like Emmy worthy in this case.
I think you are super excited about your boring corner.
I am really excited about Ozark. So Corey and I have been watching that. And then the only other thing is like, so last week or week before last, we had to take our cat to the vet.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, so Baxter had to go to the vet. He had teeth issues, gum issues. So he had to get his teeth cleaned, which means I have to put him out. So he had to anesthesia. So he comes home, like everything's fine. Like they don't find anything bad. They don't have to pull any teeth. It's just like, okay, his gums are going to be a little sore for a couple of days. And then you have to start brushing them. But like for a week, he was just like the sweetest, most mellow cat. He was, and the other cats, our other two cats, were like shunning him because he had like vet smells all over them. So anytime he came near them, they're all,
oh, rawr,
you know. And so he was just like poor little outcast Baxter, and I was just like, oh, my poor baby, your sisters don't love you anymore. And he was just so sweet. And then like 2 days ago, all of a sudden, it all wore off. And he's been the biggest butt ever. Like, I'm like, he's back.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, he's like beating up on his sisters now for no reason. So that's all. That's really all I got. I was worried about my baby boy.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, did you watch any episodes of the new Twin Peaks, or did you not watch any of them?
I haven't watched any of it. I mean, it's not completely off my list of things to watch.
I'm just curious. I have an ulterior motive that I can't tell you about now.
Okay. I have not watched any of it. I don't know where it falls on my TV watching.
It's fine.
Okay. Are you going to tell me your ulterior motive?
No. Oh, okay. I'm not. Okay. So you might want to watch it.
Huh. When I need to watch it by?
Oh my gosh, little meddler. Well, anyway.
Huh.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Well, that was weird.
Yeah. No. Hey, did you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I'm not a Curb Your Enthusiasm person.
My God.
I think that show just stresses me. I mean, I've seen episodes of it and just stresses me out.
I mean, I get the worst secondhand embarrassment.
But that's
like,
what it is.
Bad.
That's what it is. It's like it gives me the secondhand embarrassment that I just can't, like, stomach in knots. I can watch the show about somebody blowing somebody's head off because of a bad drug deal. But if just like the weird, embarrassing, cringy moments that I'm like, I can't handle
like
this.
A real situation
right,
you could
right.
be in that is not handled well.
I can't handle it. Oh no, it's like that could really happen.
Bobby, you know, I don't get that into shows, but during that one, our faces are just like, oh, what are you doing? It's pretty terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that show kind of gives me a stomach ache.
It's yeah, for sure. I get it.
All right. What else? Is that all we got?
I think the train just stopped, pulled into the station.
Yeah, chug a lug.
Good one.
Well,
all right.
Okay, so we did. It's been a month or so. Let's try.
We are going to do our best, guys.
Because I know that you're just breathlessly awaiting our podcast. I know some of you are not breathlessly.
I know there are some bored people out there in the morning on their way to work and they want to hear something.
Yeah, we've got people.
We've got a fan or two. Yeah. And for that fan or two, we're going to do our best.
We're there for you. We're going to work on this.
We need, you know what? I would say we have just been so beat up by the world that everything seems really hard.
It does. It really.
Much harder than it actually
is. And that's
is.
Not even a joke.
It's not.
True. Life is just seems.
Life is pain for me.
Exhausting lately. So on that lovely note, thanks
all
for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good Girls Don't Tonight was produced by Paloma Jordan and Bobby Jordan, or engineered.
I don't know. We don't really know our things. Here's what happens, guys. I press a couple buttons. Bobby sets up the show. Rachel and I think of the ideas.
Okay. So we produced it, and you and Bobby engineered it.
Can somebody, like, comment on our Facebook post or Twitter to let us know what our jobs are. We don't know what we're doing.
Let us know what we're doing.
I press some buttons and save things. Bobby sets up the mics and
tells us to make sure the logos is facing us. So
and
it is.
Our mouths are on the microphone.
Yeah.
Every time.
Okay.
So somebody let us know what our jobs are. But I think we're the executive producers.
We're the producers.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Child care services provided by Bobby Jordan and Corey Vick. Wine, in this case, provided by a very
small bottle of wine.
Of rosé that's tasty.
But really good. It tastes like butter.
It's a really tasty bottle of rosé, but we were both shocked at how quickly we went through it. And I feel, we agree that we feel relaxed.
We didn't earn it. It didn't earn us.
We're not too drinky. So no. some nice rosé. Dinner catering services provided by Bobby Jordan. I happen to like his homemade pizza crust. I know that he was, you know, mercilessly picking it apart in a critique afterwards, but I really liked
that's
it.
That's how he and I operate.
Okay, fair enough.
We critique our dishes.
All right. So, yeah, on that note, I really liked it, though.
Well,
and, thanks for listening,
appreciate
guys.
Appreciate it.
So, happy pussy anniversary.
Oh, pussiversary.
Pussiversary.
Bye.
Ew, boo.
Good night.
Good girls don't. Good girls don't. What you think?